All right. That was awesome. I love where things are headed. I love that this body is heading in such a direction that we're beginning to understand some of the magnitude of the new covenant that we are a part of, in my opinion. I love the theme since the beginning of the morning, which came out a few times by this dear sister here, and then some scripture that was read, and this common theme of it's no longer something that's out there, but now it's something that's in here. We no longer have to come to the river and find the river, although you can do that too, and that's great, but we realize that, like, I am the river. The river is in me, right? The river, that spring of living water will flow from deep within my being. What a promise. You know, in the old where the blood covered, and now he says, drink my blood. Now the blood's inside. That's the conscience. That's amazing. So I just love the revelation that we're getting now, which is this inside-out gospel. And I feel like we're just on the tip of the iceberg. As soon as we understand that what this dear sister was reading out loud, the magnitude of the glory that was in the temple, and then we realize that collectively, together, we are the temple. And even more so, Paul says, man, back then, that glory was, it would be around, and then it was fading, right? Like, you know, Moses put the veil on for a while because people were freaked out because he was so much full of that glory. But how much more, how much greater is the glory now that we have received in this wonderful new relationship, this new covenant system, the sweetness of this whole thing, that we come with unveiled faces to the Lord and we can represent him here on earth. Oh, it's amazing. How are you guys doing this morning? You good? Cool. I feel like a nice, peaceful comfort. We're just all comfortable. So I figure we'll be here about 4 hours. I'll let you out right before the Super Bowl. Just kidding. Okay, we're going to actually try to... Kirsten kept reminding me, let's keep it short enough. Let's respect time. It's Super Bowl Sunday. So for whatever that means, yeah, I know, right? So you need to go see the Patriots. But, you know, Lord help me, because we're going to try to keep it... She'll be fine. But anyway, did you have something before we get into it? I think she was going to step out on something.
Okay, the mic is a little hot. Yeah, I'm running sound and up here at the same time, so do you want to go turn it down a tiny bit? Thank you.
Channel?
It's the, not the main mic, it's Deb's mic.
Okay.
But I just had a, I think I'm, this is something, I don't know if it's for me or if it's for somebody else, but I've had, since prayer this morning, I've had a little bit, like I had a shooting pain in the side of my cheek, and it felt like there was some kind of a, like numbness. I felt like I got an injection from, and I'm not sure if this is for somebody out there who, if you've had some kind of injection that caused permanent numbness or pain in your cheek, your right side of your face, into your cheek, your tongue, is that anybody here? Okay, coming up. I'm going to pray for you. Ev, go get started.
All right, so we're going to get started. I love that. That's so good. Today, I'm pretty excited. We're going to bring a teaching that we've kind of done before, we touched on in the past. If you were here for the Jeremiah in October, because everyone's really keeping perfect track, October, right? Is she? You going to turn her back up? Okay, go ahead. Speak.
All right, hi.
Yeah, there you are.
Thank you.
So if you're here for the October Jeremiah, then just fall asleep. I don't know, because we're going to bring it back. There weren't that many of you here, and we knew that this was a really, I feel that this is a really important message, because this message seeks to unlock the ability to see in the Spirit. What had been heavy on Kirsten's heart and my heart at the time, and still is we really want to be able to make the things of the Spirit very readily accessible for all believers, because I believe that
they should be.
That they should be. That the things of the Spirit become very practical. I know that sounds like unspiritual, but when I have the Holy Spirit in me, why shouldn't it be? It's practical and accessible. It's something that is my inheritance. And sometimes I just believe that we get into this rut where we think that these things are just for the right-brained, just for the artistics in the group, just for the weirdos. I'm just saying. So like sometimes it's like this ultra, we make it this mysterious and mystical thing, and make no mistake about it, it is. But when the Holy Spirit is involved, sometimes what is supernatural becomes natural to you. In the new man I'm talking about. So this is something that is for those who are in Christ, who believe, and who feel like, well, you know what, that's not me. And so we're going to tackle this issue of seeing the Spirit. The Lord has spoken to my heart and Kirsten's heart a lot in the past, like 2-3 years, maybe, on this subject. And I'm just going to kick it off. Okay. I'm going to start it off and then we're just going to kind of go together on this. There's kind of a part two on this as well that we have not done yet. And then she's going to take more of the lead on that. But we're just going to kind of go through this thing together. I want to tell you that I was one of those people, I would sometimes see things, but I would question myself every time. I'd be like, what's going on here? What's going on in the Spirit? Am I really seeing the Lord? And the Lord would tell me, yes, you're seeing, but I still wouldn't believe it. One of the reasons why is because sometimes it felt like my imagination. It felt like it was kind of a fabrication, like a self-fabricated image that I had seen in my mind. And I'd be like, Lord, I don't know. I don't get this thing. Like, I want to see in the Spirit. I'm so hungry to see in the Spirit. I know it's the will of God for every Christian. I believe that. And you do see in the Spirit, every one of you, and we'll get to that in a second. But seeing the Spirit is really, really important. It's actually an old Hebraic thought of seeing is even more than, so there's the hearing, that's important. Sometimes we talk about hearing all the time, but we don't talk about the seeing part. He wants to show you things as well. In fact, Jesus says, I only do the things that I see my Father doing. It's not just about hearing, it's also about seeing. So we want to unlock that. So anyway, I wanted that. And my issue was that, Lord, I need to separate my imagination from what you're showing me. And I was really struggling with my imagination because I knew my imagination was not a good thing, or so I thought. And so I was struggling between my imagination and seeing in the Spirit. I'm like, Lord, I don't want it to be my imagination. I want to see in the Spirit. And, I made it all about my imagination and, keeping it off of me, And so the Lord said this brilliant thing to me. And it was really clear. This is just my testimony, and just hear us out on this. But he said this thing to me. He said, well, give me your imagination, and I'll sanctify it. And I said, wait, did I hear that correctly? Because, I was trained that, imagination is not a good thing. And he says, just give it to me, and I will see how I will use your imagination, and I'll meet you right there. And I said, whoa. So in the months that were to come, I learned, he gave me some kind of revelation, and I'm going to share it, okay? And again, we all share out of our experience and what we know to be true from the Lord, okay? So if it's not your experience, I want to be able to talk about this and take it in and take in what I'm saying, and then I want to be able to have open conversation about it after. I hope that this message sets people free and untethers people from some of the past mindsets that have kept the Lord from speaking, okay? In the months to follow, I would have these thoughts and these pictures in my mind, and I would practice. I'd be like, okay, this feels like my imagination right now. It even feels kind of like I'm doing it, but am I? And whatever, I'm going to go with it. And long story short, there was multiple times where the Lord showed me, Evan, you're seeing in the Spirit. And he would confirm it, like crazy stuff. I'm talking about, like, I was in Northern California. I was driving to where my client was. It was like 2.5 hours down the road. And he gave me a picture, and he gave me a prophetic word based on that picture. And I'm telling you, that picture, it felt like it was my imagination. It seemed like my imagination. But it was so detailed that it also included the exact minutes that I would arrive to my destination without the GPS on, by the way, because obviously, that would be an easy thing to see. And I saw the exact minute that I would arrive. I didn't try to make that at that time. I made it it was like 12:21 or something like that. It was crazy. And the word was right on. So I was like, okay. And then another time I had a picture, and Kirsten had a similar picture, and it was completely confirmed. So I want you to know that you actually see in your imagination. Do you know that you're not seeing me physically right now? Your eyes are not seeing me. Your eyes are only absorbing the light that's being reflected off of me, hence color. And then your eyes are actually projecting some of this image into your screen. Okay, I'm going to call it the mind's eye. We can bounce around with semantics, and that's where we get into a little bit of trouble here. But some people call it the mind's eye. Some people call it seeing a certain way. Some people call it the imagination. Either way, there's a screen. It's your mind, right? It's in your soul, which consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. So right now, your eyes are like a technology that's projecting the image of me, and then here you are processing that into an image. This is scientific. We actually had a Dr. Sarah McGee, a quantum physicist, actually explain all this. I was like, whoa, you know, at least this part. Okay. Do you have anything to add there? Because that was a long. I could keep going, but
no, I think that's a good start. I would like to address just kind of the initial problem that we have with the word imagination, because when we're very young, you have a little kid who is scared because there's a monster under the bed or in the closet. And this kid is, being very young, they're probably picking up on things in the spirit. They're picking up on the fact that, hey, there's a demon in the house. But instead of saying, okay, who are you? Who's in you? God is greater than that demon. You can tell that demon to go. And empowering them to actually actively participate and take authority over themselves and their room, we say, oh, it's just your imagination. Go back to bed.
Convenience.
So we teach them. We don't mean to do this because we just don't understand ourselves, right? So this isn't something that we're harming our children intentionally, right? This is something that we as a culture have understood, that this is, that imagination is something, we associate anything that goes in our mind as something that we have invented and made up, and it's not real. It's not true. So that includes, hey, I just felt like I had feathers brushing across my face while I was in worship. Oh, it's probably just my imagination. Or I've got a pain on the side of my face. Why do I have this pain on the side of my face? Oh, it's probably just my imagination. When in reality, God's saying, hey, look, there's somebody here who needs healing, and I'm giving you a word of knowledge. I'm giving you something to work with so that you can then go and activate that and use that to bring about healing, to bring about the works of God on this earth. So when we do this, the problem is that we throw out anything that we cannot confirm visually, auditorily with our ears and touch things. So we throw out everything that is in the spirit. Any of our spiritual senses, we just turn off. And so we get to the point where we do not even hear, feel, see, touch anything in the spirit because we've told our brains to turn that off, right? So we say, that's just my imagination, and I'm just going to put it over there. Now, God gives us an imagination to be creative. I mean, how many artists do you know where they have a picture in their head before it goes onto a canvas? You have inventors who invented the chair that you're sitting on was in someone's imagination prior to it being made physically so that you can now sit on it. Okay, God gives us an imagination to be creative, to be inventive, to be a participator in the works that he's doing here. Okay, so we have this interface between heaven and earth.
I love it. And there is, we are going to tackle this, hopefully in very shortly here. We're not saying that everything that you've self-fabricated is now of the Lord. It's important to discuss this, and we will. But we just want to start off strongly by beginning to value and consider the unseen. We live in a culture that says if it's not like this, if it's not something I could taste, touch, feel, all the physical senses, all of the physical gates, right? Because it's really more like this, right? body, soul, spirit, but anything that we can interpret or process out here through the eye gate, the nose gate, the ear gate, the touch gate, all that stuff. If it's not something like that, then it's not real. But I would challenge us, even on that level, you know, everything that we are using today in some sort of technology, including the seat that you're sitting on, started here in someone's mind. So was it real until it came? And if it wasn't real, then what? Or if it was real, then how do we define reality? And so it, you know, was the technology already existing? Was it real? Was the technology to fly on airplanes real before airplanes existed? I would argue, yes, it was. But something had to happen here to bring that forth onto the earth. There's this theme here, because this gets really, really powerful. And we're only talking about the earthly wisdom. We're not even talking about this projection yet from out from the deep of the spirit. So what happens is we don't value, see, the Eastern cultures get this. They don't really separate, oh, well, that was your imagination. This was, you know, it's just like they actually really consider and value the unseen, including the imagination and the mind's eye and that screen that we're going to talk about. They value that very much, but we don't. And it gets to be a detriment, because Jesus said no one has seen the Father. No one's seen God, because he's spirit. He says God is spirit, right? Even the kingdom is a spiritual one. So they were challenging him, and they said, you know, well, if you're the king, where is your kingdom? I don't see it. I don't see it or feel it or touch it. And he said, are you? No. The spirit is actually not here or there or something you could touch, taste, or feel, whatever. It's going to be inside of you. So if God is spirit, then how much are we limiting God and his ability to work through us if we're throwing out the unseen, including our imagination? Okay, so do you have anything to add to that before I...
One thing to note is, as we learn, as we're babies, we don't have any kind of memory bank in our minds. We start off with kind of a blank slate in terms of our brains. As we grow, we develop, oh, this picture that I see, that's my mom. Oh, that sound that I heard, that's a dog barking. Oh, that smell, oh, that's a flower. And then we start building a memory bank. Okay, so we all have, it's kind of like a gigantic library index system where you have all these different cards relating to different things. And God knows what's in your memory bank. He knows the words you tend to use. He knows your memories. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. And he will take things in, particularly, think about it in terms of a dream. Because a dream, we tend to wrap our heads around dreams a little bit easier. We say, okay, oh, that makes sense. Well, God takes pictures throughout your day and puts them together in some kind of a story. And a lot of times it doesn't make sense, because why is there a dinosaur sitting at the table with me? Doesn't make sense. However, it's representative of something else. We may not have a card, a picture, a grid for something, the specific thing he's trying to show us. We wouldn't understand it if he did show it to us. So he pulls something out that's like it and puts that picture in its place. So sometimes you might, as people are giving prophetic words to somebody, you might get a similar type of picture, but not exactly the same picture. And it's not that you're hearing wrong. You're both hearing correctly. God's just pulling up a different picture. You have a different card catalog database that he's going through, and he picks out and shows you whatever it is that is closest to what he's wanting to show you. Because a red motorcycle might mean something, one thing to one person. It might mean something completely horrible, amazing to one person and horrible to another person. But he's not going to use the same picture for both people, because it means something completely different. Does that make sense?
Perfect. I love, Josephine did a great job of explaining one time, I remember like before worship or something, that it's like we have eyes in all three. So like we obviously have eyes, and then our soul has eyes and our spirit has eyes. We have senses in the spirit, right? It kind of mirrors our senses in the physical realm. So here it is, body, soul, spirit. And here's that projection screen that you can call whatever you want, but there is your mind's eye, right? And by the way, Daniel, I don't want to forget this scripture, Daniel, when he brought one of the most powerful messianic prophecies ever to be discovered, it starts like this, and these were the visions of my, and the Hebraic word is head, resh, which means the head or mind. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I thought he was talking about open vision and amazingness, which those happen. Open visions, trances, and we can talk about that another time, and I say expect them, and that's awesome. But we're talking about a very practical way that God shows us things in the spirit. And in fact, that amazing prophecy came right into his mind. And that was the old covenant. This is like an amazing thing that we're getting on. So body, soul, spirit, you have this screen, and what you're seeing right now, you know, gets kind of circulated through your soul, your emotions. So if I'm a big man, you know, and someone sees me coming, one person will think one thing and one person will perceive it another way. They'll see me physically through here, but then their soul will have great influence because of past expectations, like she was just saying, or it helps shape what they're seeing. So it really shapes kind of things over here start getting really warped. And we can start talking about, you know, mental, you know, like disabled mental issues and things. Like, things get warped on this screen. I think we all kind of know that to a point. Now, check this out. When you're born again, here's the beautiful thing. When you're born again, his spirit comes to live within your spirit. He makes residence there. You know, somehow he came through one of your gates, probably your ear gate, because faith comes by hearing, right? And it came straight through and into your spirit, and now he's residing inside of you. Yay, that's amazing. Okay, so what happens, I want to take a second to paint this picture, and then we'll just kind of get off the soul, body, soul, spirit thing, because I could just camp out there for way longer than we have, is that like when one of you is, so when you go to sleep, you're, sorry, I'm all over the place with this marker. Oh, and I don't want to mark it. No, it's not for the floor. It's for the marker board. Okay. Well, when you're going to sleep, you're seeing in the spirit all the time. Let me explain. Your spirit never sleeps. It's always having experiences, right? So, but what happens is your body kind of shuts down. It's at rest. Your soul even, you know, it's kind of in a, it's just calming down. You know, your emotions are still pumping a little bit, but it's calm. And so because you busy, you know, millennialist you or whoever you are, in 2019 with our busy, crazy culture and our world around us, our schedules, we're finally, you know, at rest. We're calm. What's happening here? In the spirit, we're having all sorts of things, and God loves to reveal a matter to a man in his dreams. That's Old Testament. That's for anyone. He loves to speak to people through their dreams. That's why dream interpretation is a great ministry. So what happens is now, instead of the eye gate and it's projecting something on the screen, guess what? It's coming through the spirit, through your spirit, and then on to the other side of this thing. And it's showing you a picture of the dinosaur at the table or a house. And your mind, because there's such data coming in, there's like this spiritual data that you have no grid for. It's almost like, you know, my father-in-law will tell you, there's a Windows operating, there's a computer operating system. That's like another name for like, let's make this simple so that people could actually understand and do things with this crazy amount of data. I think there's some shortcuts, you could hit it, and then suddenly that picture you're looking at is all data, right? It's like this crazy, it's a scary thing with all different colors. I'm like, whoa, what did I just do? Well, actually, you're looking at that data that's feeding the operating system screen that you are able to operate on, because it's like interpreting it to something that you understand. So the spiritual information's coming in. My human mind's like, I have no idea what I'm looking at. Crazy, over my head. However, I see a duck, a person, a thing, whatever. And so I'm like, okay. So now I wake up, and hopefully I've retained that dream. And now I need to interpret that dream, because its interpretation is just is understanding that heavenly language and interpreting what my spirit is now accessing and experiencing, and what God is telling me through that dream. Does that make sense? Does that kind of make that screen thing make sense? Because there are different ways that you see, and it's actually, I realize that it's the same screen. What, like, that's why I was like, wait, is that my imagination or is it not? I'm not saying they need to be one and the same, but we need to start there so that now I can practice, instead of shutting off all the unseen and shutting off the imagination, because I've been told that since I was little, now I could begin to practice and be open to what God is showing me, and I could begin to interpret. I'm like, okay, this is God, this is not. So now I have something to work with, because after all, the truth will allow you to do that. His word separates, divides asunder soul and spirit and body, or joints and marrow and the whole deal. It allows you to separate. That's another Hebraic understanding. There's separating and understand. It's, all that means is interpreting and understanding. Understanding is like separation, because you're able to see more clear when things are separated.
Although Hebraically, everything isn't separated. Greek thinking is, we have reading and writing and spelling and math. But Hebraic thinking is, they're all the same. But so there is that, there, it's a weird sort of duality. If we're all, it's one in many and one in many.
Yes, and that's a really good point, because separation might it's like revelation when some things are coming to light. But we have to look at it this way. Paul says very clearly, I want to see you sanctified, body, soul, spirit. Actually, he says, I don't think it's coincidence, he says spirit, soul, body. Why? Because there's new life here. There's the fire of God, the spirit taking residence, and now it's spilling out. Because remember, it's this way. It's inside out. It's spilling out here into your soul. And now your soul can be transformed. You know, we've been on this for a while here in this body, but we're realizing that it's not like we're deferring from the usual rhetoric of like, oh, well, that's the soulless realm, man. Be careful, the soul, the soul, the soul. Well, or the heart can be deceptive. You know, that's an old covenant scripture. How about this? What heart? Which heart are we talking about? Because the more in faith we step into the fact that the whole man is being renewed, right? And our mind says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Guess what? It's this transformation that's happening here. And now even when we begin to get a hold of this thing, what happens when it starts to spill out into our body? That's amazing. And we could even go into scripture and it gets really cool, but we're not going there. But it's the whole man. Jesus says that a house divided can't stand. So if your soul realm is all like everything evil, and we follow that usual rhetoric that's been around for a while now, it's been some decades, indwelling sin, the old nature, the thing that's still around you, the dual nature, that's not scriptural. That's actually pre-cross. Paul is like, when I was trying to do this thing as a, you know, as a sincere, good-hearted Jew who wanted to please God, I was at war. What is he saying? There's a dual nature, because in his mind he wanted to please God, but there was this death working inside of him, and it was like all-out war. That's not God's will for the believer. We're actually supposed to step into a whole new life where every part of us, we realize that everything that God made is good. He's returning us back to the image and the glory that we had before time before the world began. We got to get out of that, guys, because when we do that, we really like limit us big time.
We have the mind of Christ, right? It's not our mind any longer. We can hold on to our old mind. We can hold on to our old thinking. If we believe that we're a sinner, we believe that we are horrible human beings, if we believe the lies that we've been told and maybe by family or friends or supposed friends or accusations from so many people in this world, if we believe those things and take those things on, that becomes our reality. If we say, nope, this is not what God says about me. This is not who I am. I have the mind of Christ. We start to think like him. And we have the capacity to, in him, as we step into him, we can think as he thinks. We can think with his thoughts. We can have his heart for other people. Whereas we would, in our own old nature, we might be angry and bitter and lash out at somebody, but with his mind, his heart, we look at that person and we feel love and compassion for them when otherwise we wouldn't.
Yeah, suddenly the old cliche of like, well, yeah, there's what you want, brother, but what does God want? That is true. That's really good advice for a lot of us at different times in our life. But I still say that there's actually a higher reality. I believe fully that you can actually step into that place in Yeshua, in Christ, where his thoughts become your thoughts, his desires actually become your desires, and you spend less time trying to decipher between the two, but now you're just a walking, talking Christian. You're a breathing Christian. You are living out the reality of his will. You are his will. So actually, whether I go, hear me right, this is a little risky, but hear me out. Sometimes there's a place in faith in Christ where God even tells me, whether you go to the left or to the right, I'm with you and I'm in it.
Because you become a friend of God.
Yeah.
Friend.
And then I dictate when I'm in the left, I'm bringing God's glory there. If I'm in the right, I'm bringing God's glory there. Sometimes God says no. Do you know we live in a yes world with God? We live in a yes and amen gospel. His promises are yes and amen. Sounds like it's usually yes then, unless it's no. Paul was like, I'm just going, man. I have this gospel. I have this grace. He told me what I'm to do. Bring the gospel to the Gentiles and to the Jews. But like spread this thing. And he just went. Like, if you notice, if you're reading, like, you know, in Acts, he's just going, man. He's just making his rounds, and he's just going where he's going to go. He's like, okay, this place next, that place next. But then he says, the Spirit of Jesus told me not to go there, right? So there's a lot of freedom, man. There's a lot of freedom. I feel like sometimes we spend a lot of time struggling with the things that he wants us to be above. He says, guys, like, that's the whole point of the cross. I've actually lifted you out of that struggle. You're no longer supposed to even see that sin and be sin conscious and live in that anymore. I've actually lifted you high out so that we can actually get this thing on and go.
It's no longer about right and wrong, because that's the tree of life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is right and wrong. It's what, whenever you're engaged in, is this right or is this wrong, you're still, don't get me wrong, choose right if you can. But if we're engaged in, is this right or wrong, am I seeing right or am I seeing wrong, am I doing right or wrong, you're engaging in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where instead the new covenant brings us under the tree of life. Okay, so now we have a choice. Does this bring life or death? That's vastly, vastly different, because we can argue left and right for all kinds of things then say, oh, yes, absolutely, this is right. Does it feel right? Okay, it's right. Well, that's very highly subjective. And very often when we think that it's right, it's not part of God's plan for our life. But when you look at it from the direction of, does this bring life or does this bring death? If this brings life, does it bring life? Then yes, go for it. Does it bring death? Because very often our decisions that we feel are right bring death.
That's why I loved your word this morning during prayer, because something along the lines of what you said, ma'am, was like really cool. It was just like, stop the struggle. Just step into me. Step into it's being in me. So it no longer becomes this micro law and management on our life every day and every hour where we're trying to figure out, like she's saying, it's either we're in Christ or not in Christ. It's the tree of life. What's amazing is all the right, the right and wrong, right? All the right becomes fulfilled, and he makes all the wrong things right. That's the ironic thing. That's the amazing thing. You come to the tree of the of life, and it's no longer an issue of good and evil. It's just life. It's just life. And that's what the world around you needs. They need life. You know, I can go around preaching like, brother, do you know, or not brother, actually not my brother, because actually I should tell that to my brother, but my non-brothers in Christ, do you know what you're doing is wrong and this is the right way? Like, that could be valuable to an extent, but what's any of it worth outside of Jesus anyway? That's why my battle is to bring people to the Savior, is to gather people to Christ. It's really that simple. It's really like, did you know that you're forgiven? You are. Like, everyone, everyone in the world is forgiven. Doesn't mean that everyone in the world received that forgiveness. I fear that many people will be away from the Lord in agony and pain and in the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth who have been forgiven, but they decided not to receive it. So I have this ministry of reconciliation. Like, dude, you know that like God like lives in me. He's real and he wants a relationship with you. He sees it all. He forgives it. He loves you and you've like been reconciled to him. Do you want to get to know him? Oh man, why did we get on that tangent? Sorry.
If we spent even half the amount of time pursuing God that we spend fighting against all of trying not to do everything, can you even imagine where we would be? We spend so much time and energy trying to do the right thing, or trying not to do the wrong thing, fighting against evil, fighting against the sin nature, when in reality, all we have to do is step into life, step into the tree of life, step into the Holy Spirit, get to know him. If we even spent a fraction of the amount of time in that direction, where would we be? We would, a few years down the road, you go, wow, I used to worry about whether I was doing the right thing or not. I used to struggle against this addiction or that sin or this anger or whatever it is. And instead of focusing on that and trying not to do that, it's like trying to, don't think about chocolate. Whatever you do, do not think about chocolate.
No, so not chocolate.
Yeah, so what are you going to think about? Guess what? You're going to be thinking about chocolate, right? So if we think about our sin constantly, then guess what? You're going to be constantly focused on sin rather than spending that same, even half that time and energy focused in on God and who he is and how he's made us right. In him we are right. In him we are righteous, not because of our own doing, but because of what he did. But in him we have that grace and that gift and that mercy. If we step into that and focus in on that, all the rest of the stuff it kind of crumbles away.
Negativity is just the degree in which it lacks positivity. Negative is lack of positive. Darkness is the lack of light. It'd be really silly of me to address the darkness and try to turn the darkness down. I'd come in here and be like, guys, I can't see. Can you turn the darkness down? That'd be weird. You'd be like, no, just turn the light on. Turn the light up. So it's like we sometimes get into this rut where we're more about what we're against than who we're for. We spend more time addressing and fighting demons than actually engaging with the angelic. And they get bored and they actually get really happy because the devil gets bigger and bigger as we inflate him and give him the attention that he wants. Sometimes there's needless casualties of warfare that we didn't even need to be in. When I was in Northern California, one of the places I stayed in was like a total, it was like a shaman. It was just weird. Okay. It was totally like, you know, some Taoist and Buddhism stuff going on. It's an Airbnb, big statues everywhere of like the goddess of Ashira and then like Buddha and then like this and that. And like, I go into my room, I go to the bathroom. There's like this, like water, like this jolly looking water dolphin person looking thing. I know what that is. It's a water spirit. Okay. There's like all sorts of weird pagan art all over the place. And for the first time, this is like a couple months ago, for the first time, I actually was not led to fight. Like, usually I'd be like, Shabba, and start like doing this whole like thing to clear the air. And I kid you not, I was just like, I just laid my head down and just slept in the arms of the Father. And I can get on with his will because I didn't have to engage in that warfare. Now, if they get in front of me and they get like, if they get in my way, you better believe I will address it and they'll be moved out of the way. But I'm not looking for it. I just don't need to look for it. And now I don't have to spend all my time trying to like fight evil when I could actually be part of the solution and be part of Christ on this earth, right? That was powerful. Like, I'm not saying everyone do this, but he brought me this revelation so much that I was just like, I just walked by and like waved to the Buddha, hey buddy. Like, it just wasn't intimidating to me because they're dead. They're dead. And I bring life. What does that have to do with me? And who I'm in. It just nothing, you know. But sometimes we overemphasize that thing. Okay, this is totally a tangent. But it applies. Go ahead.
No, it's good because it is about who we are. And if you know who you are, if you know that you're a king, you're gonna act like a king. You might have been given the authority of a king, but if you don't know it, or if you don't believe it, you're not going to act like it, right? So you have to know who you are and whose you are. One thought, though, because this leads into, with imagination, so much of the time we have, how many here has had thoughts and you go, this is definitely not from God? Or there's just accusations and lies and things that we sit there and we go, man, yeah, I'm a terrible mom. Like, how could I have done that? That's such a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we have these voices, and but it sounds like our own voice, kind of, you know, a little bit. But it's not true, because God didn't say that. God wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that. So when we are dealing with our what we hear in the spirit, when we see in the spirit, how many of us have issues with have had issues in the past with visions of things that are horrible? Now there is a process of sanctification, and as you come through this, I've gone through, and I'm not going to get into this long because this is an entire teaching in and of itself, but when you have voices, I'll hear a voice, and eventually I started realizing and picking up on it, going, that's not God. That's not me. That's a lie. Somebody around here needs to go now. And taking hold of them and no longer allowing them the authority to speak to me anymore, because this is me and this is my body, this is my temple, and you need to get out of here. And going through a process of picking off all of those things, all of those voices, all of those lying spirits that are around me, not in me, around me, and cleaning out what I'm hearing. And I don't hear them very often at all. It only took a few times kicking some major butt to, they got very quiet. It was pretty awesome, actually. And there's, every once in a while, something will come around, and it's not necessarily, it's not for me. These lies, these thoughts, the pictures are not from me, and you have to realize that, because oftentimes what we do is we take that lie and we say, oh, I believe it, and we believe those lies instead of believing the truth of what God says instead. And with pictures, it's like, okay, so if you have a poster on the wall and you paint red paint over it, what do you see? Red paint. Okay, so the blood of Jesus is exceptionally powerful. Without taking much more time on this aspect of it, the blood of Jesus is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly powerful. The name of Jesus is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly powerful. Whenever, if God shows you something, if you need to repent of something because you've allowed something in, because of something you've done, repent of it, cover it with the blood, and every time something comes up, be consistent about it. Sometimes it takes a bit of time to clean out your imagination. Sometimes the process of renewing your mind, it's a process of repentance, ultimately. And repentance is, it is saying you're sorry, yes, but it is not so much that. It is a turning away. It's a getting into a new perspective, going into the penthouse, up, going up. It's this process of, this is not who I am. This is not who God's called me to be. I am no longer going to think about this anymore. Cover it with the blood of Jesus and change your perspective. Change your thinking. And we have a lot of hard wires going on that we have to change. And it takes time sometimes. But it's a process in that transfiguration, because it's not just a transforming your mind, it's a complete and total transfiguration. The word in the Greek means the same thing. Wow. It's a complete transfiguration of your mind and your energy and your thinking. Sorry, Hannah's waving at me. Go ahead.
I love it. Yeah, so it's... Yeah, and what you say, like, it's perfect, because sometimes things project here and we're like sitting ducks and we're so like vulnerable and we're like, oh no, like, I can't believe that came out of me, that thought, or I thought I was over that or something. You ever feel like that? I've definitely felt like that. Like, and it could be completely demonic, just out of left field, or it could be something from your soul that, you know, you're in process here. So it could be something that's projected out of there. So some memory, and it's like, oh wow, like, okay, let me deal with that. Or a combination of both. You know, like, oh, like something is, you're prone to something here and the demonic presence is just getting all over you because it's condemnation when there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So something's up, something's wrong, okay? So
one thing is important to note that it's if you're having thoughts and images that are not typical of you, sometimes it's not you. And we cannot take these thoughts on as ourselves. This is not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. This is not who you are. The one thing to note is that our minds project something. There's a frequency that comes off of our brains, about 10 feet or something like that. And our hearts project something like 50 feet around us. This isn't something weird, new agey. This is just scientific measuring. You can measure this stuff. This is measurable with instruments. And so sometimes we pick up, you might be driving down the street and all of a sudden you're thinking about pornography. Do you have an issue with pornography? Well, okay, maybe deal with it. But if you don't have an issue with pornography and all of a sudden you're thinking about something, you might just be picking up on something that somebody else is struggling with. Yep. So that's something to note as well. And when you know that, all of this has to be, bring it to the Spirit, bring it to the Holy Spirit. Use your discernment. Ask for discernment, because it's that discernment that's going to tell you, is this me? Is this somebody else? Is this, what do I need to do? Bring it to Holy Spirit. What do I need to do with this? Anything that comes up and you don't know what to do with it, bring it to Holy Spirit. He'll tell you what to do with it. And know who you are.
Amen. So as things come up here, the way I personally do it, everyone's going to have their own way. But for me, I'm going to get involved with this here. So this is faith, you know, like, so something happens here, whether it is an issue here or it's demonic, either way, that pornography thing, for example, let's say back then I used to struggle with it big time. Let's say that all the time it was a struggle and now it's coming back. What I can do is try to fight it, right? Or I can fill it with something good. With the Lord. That's my replacement theology. I was like talking about that replacement theology. Replace what is not of the Lord with something of the Lord. So by faith, instead of trying to fight it, oh, that demon, get off of me, I actually do the opposite. I turn to the Lord and I'm like, thank you, Lord. I just thank you so much, Lord, that even though this thought just came into my head, your word says that I am brand new. I am a new creation. The old me is completely gone. So even though that thing was like, you know, it seemed real right now, I know it's not a part of me. It's not what you created me for. It's no longer part of my nature. So by faith, I'm taking on the image of my creator, because Jesus, through your blood, I've been restored back to my original value and intent. These women are as my sisters and my mothers and my daughters. That'll really mess you up. And, you know, and that's the value of who they are. And now I understand my value. And if, like, wow, that doesn't even taste right to me anymore. Lord, this isn't who I am. Thank you so much. If that was a demon, I promise you it's gone, long gone. Long gone by that point, because when he presses you, he ought to take a risk, right? That's the victory of the Christian. When you're pressed, now you're going to come closer to him, because if you're with him, if you're having this, if you're in love with him, he works all those things out actually for your benefit. Wow. So that's an amazing way of sanctification. It's like everything else. It's through faith, and we don't walk by sight, right? By our eye gates, what I perceive, I don't ignore it. Obviously, I'm looking around and I probably should use my eyes to walk out of this building. Otherwise, you guys are, it's just not going to be good, right? So I don't ignore my sight, but what I see and how I process it does not dictate my reality. I need to begin to process it here. And as I'm doing that, because Hebrews talks about the mature in Christ who have their senses trained. As I'm doing that, now I'm seeing this transformation in my life, so that everything I'm seeing here through my eye gate, I'm actually processing here. That sounds like Jesus. He didn't see a problem, was like, oh my gosh, that's a big problem. I don't know. Lord, do you think we could handle this one? I mean, you had me, like, you know, he didn't do that, because he saw the problem through that way, through this. Through his relationship with the Father. So that's the process of sanctification. I do want to get really quickly into some sort of how do we apply? How do we begin to just open the eye gates or whatever of the Spirit? And perhaps next time we'll actually like do some exercises and get these things going, because there are exercises you can do. You can close your eye. You can go like this and watch yourself open and close your hand, and then close your eyes, and then open and close your hand and see yourself doing that, even though you can't see through here. Begin to practice seeing in the Spirit. Begin to how about this? Begin to consider your dreams. Like, whoa, that was important. Instead of being like, oh, yeah, it's just a dream, right? Or that seemed like really weird and just it's just comical and that probably didn't mean anything. Begin to really dig in and consider your dreams. And then just lay back and close your eyes and see what the Lord is showing you. I know that sounds really presumptuous, but sometimes you'd be like, well, I think it's my imagination. But just go with it. Just see where he brings you. And when you're in him and in his presence and in love with him, you could be surprised what happens there. I've had some experience that are just off the hook. And it felt like, after some of them, I was like, I mean, I'd go through this whole thing in this intimacy with Jesus, and I'd see him on the throne, and I'd see his eyes of fire, like it says in Revelation, and I'd come to him, and I'd be dancing before him in the spirit, all these things. And then like at the end of it, there was this understanding, this almost comical thing where the Lord was like, see, Evan, does it really matter whether you fabricated that or not? Just now, at least. He began to speak to me and open my mind. It, because all I know is that I just did what I did, and it produced really good fruit. So that I'm not saying that there's no difference. There is a difference. However, he opened me to being open to the things of the Spirit, and now I can see the value of the unseen. And I'm telling you, since then, there have been plenty of things that definitely were not self-fabricated. So until we open it up, until we repent of the old way of thinking, like, oh, well, that's just nothing, that's just your imagination, until we come together and realize that this is all intertwined, and until we realize that it's the same screen, and we say, Lord, I repent of the old way of thinking, I'm turning on the projection screen, I'm turning on the LED screen, and I don't mean the TV, because that's like the eye gate when you're not even thinking, and you're just sitting there watching the dumb box, okay? But like, I'm turning this thing on, because I know that you want to speak there and you want to show me things there, and I'm listening and I'm watching. That's the difference. I'm watching. So even if I felt like before, oh, well, I'm not a seer, I'm just not a kind of person I could see in the spirit, but now I have a slightly different understanding and I have a slightly different expectation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we are supposed to be participants. This is supposed to be, it's not just a God is up here and we're down here and we just watch. You know, this is supposed to be an active participation in life. So God is here and we are here. God is here and I am here, right? God's in me and I'm in him. One thing to note is this, if when you begin to honor your senses, when you begin to honor the spiritual senses that he's given you and say, repent for saying, I cannot see, I cannot hear. Repent for that, because saying that you can't see is going to mean that you cannot see, right? So if you want to see, say, I can see. I may not yet see, but that's because we're now building a card bank in our brains. We have, as babies, we come into the world with nothing in our card catalog. We have no images or anything in our card catalog. But now, as we begin to honor our hearing and we begin to honor our sight, begin to honor our spiritual senses, as we begin to honor those things, slowly, 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 we start building up that card catalog. And now we have a grid for it. Because when we have a grid for it, then we can understand what's going on. We can say, oh, hey, no, when I get this feeling, that means this. When I see this, that means this. Or when I see this, I have no idea what it means. I've been seeing it for a year and a half now, and I still have no idea what it is, but it's really cool. But eventually, at some point in time, I'm going to understand something about it. But as that builds up in you, you'll begin to be able to operate at greater and greater levels in hearing and seeing and sensing and all these different things.
Yeah, and as time goes on, you'll know what's here and what's here. And then sometimes the crazy thing is sometimes they start to be both. Yes, I promise you. Like sometimes there's a place in him where it's like you're just so engulfed in him, doesn't even matter. I'm telling you right now. I know it's like, but anyway, let's take a step back. You will be able to understand more of like what's here and what's here, what God is doing, because there's that dividing asunder. You're able to understand that. And sometimes you'll even be able to be like, you know what, that was just me. That was me fabricating the image of chocolate because I just love chocolate, right? Well, so like you'll be able to make that sort of division factor until we understand and come into the full glory of the image of God, where even his thoughts and everything is yes. Did you know that God has an imagination? Wonderful imagination. Look at all of you. You all started with a thought, you know, because the thought comes before the word. With his imagination, would start with his imagination, then it was faith to speak what was there and unseen into the seen and there, right?
God is always thinking about us, always so speaking over us. If he were to stop speaking, then we would all cease to exist. Yeah. So one other thing that I'd like to mention is this is also part of the activation is to, when you honor your imagination, when you honor this, you can then start using it as a tool, as a tool in your tool belt in your faith. If you believe that you can go to the courts of heaven and present your case before the judge, picture a courtroom. Picture yourself standing in front of the judge. Who cares if it looks like that in the heavens? It's not about that. Who cares if you're seeing accurately? The idea is that by faith, we can stand before a righteous judge and have our court, our case be presented to in this trial, in this jury. So if you believe that this is something that God's given you, then step into it and begin that. And because I'll do that very often. Sometimes if I'm presenting something in the courts, I will see something of what's going on. Sometimes I don't see anything at all. Sometimes what I'll start with is I'll picture myself in the courtroom. And that might be all I see is what I'm imagining. Sometimes, though, God shows me specific things because there's a reason for it. He has something that he wants to show me because I need to either do something or repent of something or cover something with the blood of Jesus. There's very often, when he shows you something, there's very often a reason for it. Either to build you up, to strengthen you, to teach you something, to impart to others, because this is not meant to stay with us. This is meant to go out. But don't be afraid to use your imagination when you know that it's biblical. Like when you know that this is part of God's promise for me, I am going to actively step into this, and I'm going to use my imagination until he shows me something else. And it's a good first step, okay? Did you have anything to add to that at all?
Yes, but I forgot what it was. So, unless the Lord can project it back onto my screen, I think we're doing pretty good here.
Feel free to wrap it.
But it just to make sure there's no risk of any misunderstanding, this is technology, guys. With all technology, technology could either be used for good or for bad. So it's not the screen that is good or bad. It's what's behind the screen and what's projecting onto the screen. That's the bottom line. That's why Jesus always brought it back to a matter of the heart. It's always a matter of the inner man and like what's going on in there. And then all I would add to that is that, like, you know, as we practice, we realize that God never, never, ever goes back on his word or contradicts his word. Okay, we've been given that truth to divide asunder. We've been given that truth to know what we're looking at. And by the way, a little side note, God has brought me into these visions where there, and actually collectively, because when people come together to do this, it's pretty wild. It's amazing. And then there's confirmation, by the way, because it's like, oh, that's crazy. You saw that because I'm seeing that too, right?
How many of you saw the same thing that for Mary?
Yeah.
Right? How many of you saw dancing, you know? And so that happens very often.
And then some of you are seeing different, like from different angles, different facets of the same diamond, the same picture. But anyway, all I was going to say was I've been blessed by that so much because then I'm in the middle of this vision that he's giving me and suddenly something rises in my spirit. I'm like, oh, this is Ephesians 3:5. Or like I'm like seeing the truth from a scripture. He will illuminate that scripture. And man, like that's no understatement. He will illuminate the rhema. He will illuminate the scripture so much that like I can go back to that specific scripture there now. And it's so intimate and alive in me because I've been there. It's almost like I was there for it. It's like a whole new level. It's like a different dimension of understanding because now you're seeing.
You can always ask for scripture. If you're not sure what you're seeing is from God or not, ask for scripture.
Right.
If what you're seeing is from, if what you're seeing, you're not sure if this is from God or not, and it seems like it might contradict Scripture, look it up. Perhaps either your understanding is wrong, which happens, our doctrine might be wrong, or we've only seen in part, or as you go and explore the Scriptures, it'll be revealed to you what's actually going on. But always, always, always go back to Scripture.
I'm going to end it with this. There's my daughter right there. When you want to come up? You come up? Okay. Yeah. It's okay. Either way. So I started her life the way that we talked about before. You know, it was convenient to be like, no, just your imagination, nothing there. And then when I got a hold of this, I was like, oh my God, please, Lord, please, like, don't let it be too late. And we have been living in a way that actually cultivates and encourages the unseen in her life. Unseen, like her hiding over there. So, but what's unseen, when you begin to honor that, see, it started kind of cute. I was like, oh, wow. Oh, yeah, that's cute. Oh, what are you seeing? Oh, okay. And then another time, I'd be like, so what are you seeing? And then she'd say this thing. I'm like, whoa. Like, that was not your imagination. She's seeing something. Everyone who knows her knows that she hangs out with Jesus. Like, she spends time with Jesus. She hangs out with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And that's the testimony of this thing, because no one told her that she can't. Right? All right. So I think we can, should we end it there?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Did anyone, because I know sometimes when it's like an unsure, touchy thing, did anyone have anything to add, question, whatever, any other input that we want to add before we go, or should we just wrap it and talk more about it next time when we actually do some exercises? Okay.
Yep. So I think that's easiest if we look at the fruit of a thing, because we can always tell when fruit is nasty. It's not hard. It's not hard to tell when a piece of fruit is nasty. And when it's good, you know it. You know it. And Evan and Kirsten helped Sarah and I with the deal with Noah. And we've had good fruit. I can tell. It's not nasty. So we used our imagination to hear from the Lord and took care of business. And since then, it's not like Noah doesn't have struggles, but he is. I've seen fruit, and it's delicious.
And by the way, I just wanted one more thing. When he says that he used the Lord used his imagination, I just want to make it clear that if it's a stumbling block to see the imagination, don't call it that. Call it seeing in the Spirit,
because we were there.
That's what we were doing.
It was like when you see something, when God gives you a prophetic word, and you see an image of it. That's what he's talking about.
And that's a starting point. It was the grid from which John, Sarah, and I, and Kirsten operated on. So you can call it that. Again, it's semantics, and that's what we're trying to address today. Is like whatever you want to call it. If you want to call imagination just self-promoting evil stuff and stuff from the evil soulless realm and something that just is self-fabricating, then let's call it imagination. Let's not call it imagination, shun imagination. That's fine. But like, we're trying to say that it's actually in the same place that God is going to meet you there and show you things. Does that make sense?
The goal is not to make it up yourself.
Okay.
The goal is to see what God is showing you.
Exactly. And he will do that. Alex.
I've been talking to my son about operating in the Spirit, and so in speaking in tongues. I go, when I was younger in tongues and I wanted to do it, I was really self-conscious, and I would do it alone, and the Holy Spirit would hit me strong, but I'd be embarrassed to do that for other people because I didn't flow in it. So, he took me to that scripture that he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, able to separate spirit and soul. So understanding that the Holy Spirit's going to operate, and because God knows you so intimately, that you're giving that part of you to God to use. So the sanctification of what you're saying for the screen of your imagination, because your heart is intentionally trying to reach God, that's the sanctification where he's going to meet you in that.
Yeah, you know? And the closer you get to him, the more you get sanctified.
And everything is a canvas for the Holy Spirit from there on out. When you're thinking with your heart, reaching out into anybody, whether it's a dream, a word, an impression, a word of knowledge, it's all operating from that intentional heart with God, that that's where the Holy Spirit's meeting you and coming out. So anything sanctified, wherever he's coming out, will you step out in it?
That's so good. And I have practiced, by the way. I've gone to his sister and be like, sister, like this is a risk. I'm taking a risk here, but this is what I'm seeing. And then guess what? I'll even ask her afterwards, does that mean something to you? Because like, why not begin to actually have some sort of accountability? If we're prophets, we need to be accountable, guys. We need to get razor sharp in this thing. And part of that is accountability. I love how Sean Bolts attacks this thing. I've never seen someone see like he does. And by the way, same stuff. He'll tell you like the same stuff. You know, and he's like, guys, like you need to follow up. A lot of prophets are like, nope, it was just the word, I'm not going to go there. But why not? Isn't the kingdom of God built on relationships? What about that word? What about the challenge? What about we're all learning? How about following up with the person and just seeing like, hey, what's that to you? At least I'm going to do that because I'm learning. And many times it's like, oh yeah, dude, you were right on. You know, I was like, whoa, because he's speaking to me. He's like, it felt like nothing, but it was everything. Because that's being in tune with the Holy Spirit.
I think sometimes words give us pictures that we really don't know because we learned them from children on up. So I know that when I taught the prophetic art class, I taught on those spiritual senses, which Evan, you know, referenced. But I like to say that I perceive when I see, because I'm bringing that from my spirit into my soul and my mind. And so if God is showing me something, it's going to be aligned with his character most of the time. Although the first demon I ever saw was in church. And I said to my friend, what is that? And she said, what does it look like? I said, it's ugly, really ugly. And she said, well, maybe it's a demon. I said, in church? Because I was back then probably in my 30s. But I was shocked. Yeah, I was in church. But our senses, we have like mirroring senses. You know, we have touch, which is experience. You're going to experience that. We have our vision, which is perceiving. We hear. Hearing's pretty close. It's pretty close to the same. You know, I just call it hearing, but you hear it in a different way, in a different realm. You don't hear it from like a voice, right? Not that voice, anyway, outside. You know, discerning. That's another, and it says our spiritual muscles are atrophied for lack of use. And so, yes, let's do some exercises. Let's gain some strength in those areas, because that's really lacking in the church a lot.
So whatever we call it, we're going to start seeing, and we're going to do this, and it's going to be sanctified, and it's going to be good. Oh boy.
Well, I had a different thought, but that's gone now because it went on. But in amplifying what mental block again, Josephine, there we go. I got it out. What Josephine was saying, one of the things we need to do is own it. We need to state it. It's not just good enough to experience it alone. You need to own it by stating it out, what it is. You're calling down something upon yourself. And you're alerting God. And God already knows, but you're alerting him and allowing him to give more to you. As you claim it, you're literally reaching out and claiming it to yourself, pulling it down upon yourself. And as you do that, you're going to grow. The spiritual muscle that she was talking about that's just hanging there, flapping in the wind because it hasn't been worked, will grow. And as it grows, and as you continue claiming it, it will grow more. You'll become Atlas of the spirit realm.
Awesome. Anyone else? I love that, Truman. Yep.
Just a note, and you may know this already, but when, like, Kristen was talking about, you know, she recognizes that there's some other voice there, some other thing there that isn't God or her, and she tells it has to go, she should fill that place with the presence of the Holy Spirit, because when it's swept clean, then 7 more or 10 more or hundreds of more can come back.
That's why you cover that place with the blood of Jesus.
And that's why I love that replacement theology, where you begin to engage with the truth, replace it with the truth. That's how this thing gets transformed. You will not get transformed by kicking out the bad. You'll get transformed by taking on the truth. I love that. That's the thing that changed me from the inside out, and suddenly I started tasting differently. I was like, whoa, everything's different. Wow, the same words aren't coming out of me, because I would get a hold of the truth, the scripture, the relationship with God, and I'd speak it over myself all the time. I'm this, I'm that, I'm not this, I'm not that, because I have to get a hold of it. Like Truman just said, I love that, because, and we'll wrap it there. You have the absolute pleasure, and it's an honor, okay? You have the honor. There's another word I'm looking for. Honor. Well, whatever. You have the honor of, in this life, pulling from something here that he's showing you and delivering it into this earth, and to apply it into the earth from heaven to earth, as it is in heaven to earth. We are physical beings who live in a spiritual kingdom. Why? So we can take what's spiritual and now apply it and speak it and do it in this earth.
That's our job.
Amen. All right, cool. So, Lord, we thank you so much for the way that you're working in such unpredictable means, Lord. If I knew I'd be preaching some of these things 3 years ago, I'd be like, whoa, you know, whatever. It would, you know, I'd be shocked. But, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord, because you're opening up the eyes of our hearts and the eyes of our spirit, Lord. And I just speak over everyone in this room, that your eyes would now just be open, that there would just be this repentance. It just means turning away from and turning towards the ability to now see the things that I see my Father doing. That's the inheritance that we all have in the Son as sons and daughters of the Most High. So, Lord, let these things be open to us, granted to us, Lord. And I pray that today would be game day, that today would be Christianity acted out, which is a full contact sport, Lord. I just pray that war on the field would have nothing on the war that is the good fight, that we can go forth into this world and apply the blood, apply the good things into what's physical, to apply the spiritual kingdom into the kingdoms of this world, and to represent you well in all we do this week, Lord. I thank you, I honor you, and I love you, Lord. I thank you for the way that you speak and the way that you show us things, Lord. In your precious name, in Jesus' name, amen.